Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey, everybody, David Nagel. Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the gift of selfishness. We are taught in our society from little children to put other people first. And while the idea of putting other people first, like really considering our fellow human being, the idea around that is a good idea, so that we are considerate, right? I think it gets taught in a way that gets out of touch after a while. Because what ends up happening with many people is that when that value is instilled as a small child without any other value around the self, a person very much grows up in an environment where they never really think about themselves at all, and it's all about what can they do for another individual. Now, I come across people like this all the time. And it's fascinating in the different scenarios in which I will meet people like this, because very often a person will come to me and they actually want something more. They want to build a business. They want more money. They want to live a dream, this type of thing. And they can't seem to stop putting other people first in order to get what they want. So they have what we call a value conflict. And the conflict is that they want something more, but internally, where they gain value in their life is by putting other people ahead of them. Where I'm discussing this is when it gets to a point where it starts to become basically destructive in an individual's life, because we're not really taking care of ourselves as people. If we are going to live in a world where we can literally create how we want to experience that world, the good that we're going to do, establish the families that we want to establish, and enjoy, have deep fulfilling experiences in our life, we're going to have to really understand something about ourselves, who we really are. But if we can't focus on ourselves because we don't think that it's the right thing to do, it becomes very difficult to even get to a place where I understand what I want. I've talked on several podcasts about the idea that people who don't know themselves usually end up very lost in society. Society has a way of, society's so fascinating. We have tremendous resources at our fingertips, and society definitely has an agenda with those resources, meaning that society is working based on the idea of, number one, we're moving society forward, but it's also about individuals moving forward. And they're moving forward in a way where they can take care of their families, they can keep their income coming in, they can contribute. Sometimes it gets into the difference of actually, am I making a difference, am I not making a difference? But really going out and having a human experience involves people to an extent where people are contributing to each other's human experience. So if we don't have a direction for ourselves, we very easily get sucked into a direction that somebody else has, and we become part of their direction. Now, I don't think that I'm not advocating for this idea where we all only have one direction. It doesn't include anybody else. Obviously, civilization would collapse if that was the case. I do believe everybody has a purpose, and that purpose is not always for like one person to have a business. It could be that they're the best number two person in a company, or best number 64 person in a company, or they're working with somebody in a partnership of some kind. We all contribute to each other. So that's great as long as there's a consciousness to it, as long as a person is absolutely aware that they want to go to work with another individual and they want to contribute in that way as being part of that relationship. But when we're not aware, that's when we run into this other problem. And that is where inside of ourselves, we have a conflict going on between, is it actually right for me to want what I say that I want, or even allow myself to want at all? Because some people come from the place where they don't even know what they want, and they don't know why they don't know what they want. But I always say that the universe is not holding anything back. So if a person's not aware of what they want, they're blocking it somehow. They're in some kind of resistance. In many cases, that resistance has to do with other individuals being very strong in what they want, us not really understanding that it's okay for us to want something because we have a conflict in values, and then we put other people first on a consistent basis, but we never get around to actually taking care of ourselves. So if we're going to change this, one of the things that we have to do is really take a portion of time and sit down and look and say, hey, listen, something is wrong with the idea that everybody else gets to go first before me, because if I don't ever take care of me, if I don't ever build myself up, if I don't ever become the best me that I can be, then I'm only bringing a portion of myself to everyone else. And it's not even really a healthy portion. It's not a healthy portion psychologically, emotionally, in many cases, not even physically. Or in the skill sets, right? Or in intelligence and what a person's actually bringing to the table. So my thought is that when we see this, it should be a red flag for individuals. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, it kind of gets shelved because there's this all-important idea of putting other people first. If we understand that when a value gets created like that, it's literally linked into our idea of safety. It's linked to certainty. It's linked to our self-esteem. What values and beliefs and ethics make us actually feel good? But these people are usually starving for something underneath the surface. So I think it starts with the idea of asking ourselves, what do we want? And to get clear on the answers of what we want. I don't think that most people spend enough time really exploring themselves. Like, there's a lot to explore there without getting into a narcissistic mindset or an arrogant mindset or a godlike mindset, but to really just kind of get down into the framework of who I am as a person and to understand that I have likes, dislikes, I have wants, I have needs, I have desires. And then as I begin to look at them, allow it to be okay to want what it is that I want. Now, here's another problem that individuals have. So when I come across a person who is really struggling with the idea of putting themselves first, you'll generally see that there is, well, generally, I shouldn't say generally, that's not true. In many cases, I've actually watched it where you'll have somebody who's the owner of a company and they're making the least amount in the company because they're paying everybody else first. Now, I understand the ethical argument against it, because the position that people come to me with is, well, I don't have enough money, but I need all these people, so I take the bite. And the fact that they think that they need to take a bite at all is really indicative of this idea that they can't put themselves first, because it's not about taking money away from the people that are working with them or their employees. It's about holding themselves to a higher standard to earn enough money to be able to pay for themselves and everybody else. Like, if they can't do that in their business, there's something seriously wrong with the business, but it's fatal from the design aspect of it. They're the ones that created the business to be the way that it is. And their low self-esteem, their lack of self-worth is really allowing them to cut themselves off at the knees and say, I'm going to take less. Why is that? When they're paying everybody else, they don't ever think like one more salary, right? Why is that? Because they don't think they're worth it. See, that's the part that goes along with not being selfish in a healthy way that causes a big problem, because we end up thinking we're not worth it. We think that there's something better about everybody else that I should give to everybody else, but never to myself. And it's and so many times it's to the detriment of who we are as a person. I just want to say it's okay to want what you want, and it's okay to start exploring that. But what I was kind of went around a long circle here, but what I wanted to get back to was the idea that when a person is either has been created this way or they've created themselves this way, whichever way you want to look at it, they often surround themselves with people that support that. And the people that are supporting it in every scenario are manipulating them. They're manipulating them to stay in the position of not getting what they want, because if they were healthy individuals, they would recognize that that person's not getting what they want, and they would actually say something about it and do something about it. I'm talking about the people that a person who has a value conflict of this magnitude is surrounding themselves with. They're surrounding themselves with people that support them staying less than everybody else. Now, this is a big problem, because what do? With individuals? We attach. We attach because we feel certain. We feel love. We feel safety. We want friends. We want family. But then we end up with friends, family, where we have this certainty or safety, but they're never letting us get what we want. They're participating in putting themselves first and you not getting your needs met. So not only do we have this issue where a person thinks it's wrong to be selfish in the way where they put themselves first, they are in fear that they're going to lose people around them if they actually do so, because if I'm going to start putting myself first, I have to learn to set a boundary. I have to learn to state what I need. I have to learn to state my opinion. I have to draw a line in the sand. I have to raise my standards of what I want in life, who I want to be, how I want to show up, what I want to do. And I also have to have this one ability that is so difficult for so many people, and that is to tell other people no. I have to have that ability. And it really doesn't matter what the no is about. The idea is this: if it's not working for you, it's not really working for anybody anyway. So you can't do everything yourself. You can't be in every place. You can't give every last ounce of yourself to other individuals. And you don't need to be kind of, in a position where everybody's opinion should just stream over your entire life. I was having a dinner one time at top of this fantastic hotel in Rome with some friends, and there were some drinks going around. Granted, that was happening. And one person started to become verbally stepping, I would say, into a place where they weren't invited. Meaning that all of a sudden this person's opinion became very important, and it was about somebody else's behavior, which there was nothing wrong with this other person's behavior. It was just that one person had some very interesting opinions about it. And I was sitting there as this happened, and you could tell that there was a little alcohol that was probably causing this to break some boundaries. And this person stopped, looked at the person that was breaking the boundaries with them and said, "Stop. Stop. Stop saying what you're saying. This will not now, nor will it ever be up for discussion with me." And this person put their foot down in a very firm way. It wasn't rude. It wasn't arrogant, but it was firm. Like, it was firm. Tone of voice changed. Posture changed. Eye contact changed. Hand gestures changed. Firm. And this is the thing that people need to do that they're not taught to do. I come across so many people that have no idea how to set boundaries with other individuals. Just because somebody's in your life does not give them the right to step over and begin to tell you everything that you need to do. Nor does, if you're one of those individuals, it does not give you the right to do it. I see coaches all the time, and I'm always kind of horrified by this. I mean, maybe horrified is a big word. It's very interesting to see people that have staked their claim in the industry of helping others become a bulldozer when it comes to helping others. You know, one of the rules of the ethical rules, so to speak, of being a benefit and helping other people is that you don't inject yourself into someone's life. So there's an argument can be made here. Anytime, or at least when it's not in the attempt to save someone's life, okay? But the idea is that you don't inject yourself into someone's life without being invited, you see? I would say that there are times for intervention when somebody is in a situation where, you know, there's catastrophe about to happen. They're going to hurt themselves or hurt somebody else, and that's totally different. But on just a regular basis, and I see coaches do this. I see therapists do this. I see a lot of people who are doing it from this insatiable need that they have going on inside of themselves to so-called heal others, because really what they're doing is they're building their self-esteem off of their ability to try to change people. And it's kind of like, you know, heal thyself first type of situation. You just don't do it. People don't change because you want them to change. We should provide opportunities for people to come to us that actually want change. So what's fascinating about this, though, is that there are so many individuals out there that will tell you who you need to be, what you need to do. It's all for them. It's like all self-serving. And if we don't have the ability to say, stop, just stop. I'm not doing it, period. And here's the other thing. No is a complete sentence. It doesn't need any further explanation. When a person is asking you to do something, you are not obligated to do it. When a person is telling you to do something, you're not obligated to do it. If you're an adult and you have standards for your life, you are not obligated to do anything for anyone else unless you want to do it. Like, that's it. But when a person is not taking care of themselves because they have a value conflict where it's not okay for them to be selfish, right? To have the selfish viewpoint of who I am and what I need for me first, then they do get steamrolled by other individuals and they're not able to say no. So we want to get to the place where we can say no. We need to start practicing that with people. If you're in a place where you're having a very difficult time telling other people no, start small. Start saying no in small ways. Because here's the thing, when you set a boundary, and this is with a lot of individuals, when you set a boundary the first time, sometimes you're going to get pushback on it. Like, there's no question. If a person has been able to manipulate in your life for a long period of time and you start to set a boundary, they're going to start to push back and test it. If you don't stay firm with it, they will learn that they can out-manipulate your boundary setting. And that's not good either, right? Because then you go right back to this place of thinking that you have no power, you have no agency, you have no voice, and you end up having to do things for other individuals. What does a boundary do? A boundary creates the space, and we need the space to be able to settle in to really start thinking about what do we need for ourselves. Now, here's the probably the most important point of this. It's radical honesty. We have to be radically honest about what we need, what we desire, and what we want in life. And when I say radically honest, it's not coming from the perspective of what other people think we need. You got to remember, most people are raised with the idea of don't buy more than you need, don't take more than you need, don't do more than you need. You don't need that. You know, I don't need a bigger house. I don't need a bigger car. I don't need, I don't need, I don't need, I don't need. But they never intelligently really look at the idea that when a person says that they need something, most of the time it's a preference, right? Like, we could make an argument that we don't need anything that we have, and we could go back, you know, living like cave people in some way. Like, as long as we have food and water and a rug wrapped around us, do we really need anything more? We have moved forward in society based on preferences. But when somebody gives you a belief like you don't need that, it starts to become a judgment. It starts to become like a barometer in your head for how you make decisions. And we always, I mean, here's the thing. We always justify what we want. Even the most ardent person, when it comes down to, like, they can be very stringent about what they have in their life. If something starts to fire them up where they want something, they will figure out a way to justify actually having it. We all do it. We all justify it, right? So if we've created the space, if we can set boundaries and actually create the space that we desire to really get a solid handle on what we want to, how we want to live, we have to have that honesty, and we have to ask internally, what do I want? Shut off that outside, you don't need it, you need this, you need that, you need the other thing. Shut that off. Close yourself away from those external voices and ask yourself, what do you really want? Because that's kind of like a flower opening inside of each individual. And when it's first opening, it can be delicate. And we don't want people to, you know, like just rip the petals out. We want that desire to blossom inside of us, because that desire gives our life direction. 100%, it gives our life direction. And that direction leads us into our purpose, the thing that we were actually put here to do. And it's by that acknowledgement of that desire, which is what we want to be, do, or have in life, that we allow ourselves to be selfish. It's a self-centeredness that has to happen within an individual so that they can become fully who they are. Now, you don't stay in this place all the time, right? Because we have to participate in life. And that's what when we do end up doing things for other people. But the idea of a healthy selfishness is that we set time aside on a regular basis to take care of ourselves, to acknowledge ourselves. Most of us spend a tremendous amount of time giving, right? Like, most of my day is interacting with other individuals in one way or another, with my purpose, which is to try to better their life in some way, to create information, to produce information that hopefully betters their life in a direction that is good for them. But when I'm giving that out to people, I get the satisfaction of being able to do it, but I'm also giving 100% in those scenarios. So it's like I have to take time for me to be recharged, like to get my batteries recharged so that I can do it to the best of my ability. Otherwise, a person becomes completely drained and there's nothing left to give to anybody. That is what is not seen by the person who's kind of like martyring themselves for everybody else. It's not a good perspective. And yes, there's a value proposition behind it. In some cases, there's religious beliefs behind this. And I don't think anywhere that I've ever seen, whether we're talking about the great philosophers of history or the major religions around the world, did it ever equate or was meant to be used in a way where we give everything of ourselves and there's absolutely nothing left. Like, nature, human beings, society could not operate if that was the case. It has to be a give and take. There is nothing in nature that just gives and doesn't receive. It's the law. Give and receiving is an absolute law. We don't see it anywhere in nature where something just totally gives and it doesn't receive. If it does not receive an equal or a greater benefit, it ceases to exist and it dies. And human beings are the same way, even though it may take a lot longer. If we're not receiving an equal or greater benefit, and here's the deal, we have the ability to choose. That means that we don't get it just by the grace of God or by the way mankind is set up. We have to ask for what we want. We're in charge of our life. We're in charge of our time. We're in charge of our money. We're in charge of all of it. Meaning that we have to order it and arrange it in such a way where we're getting what we want so that we can go out there and be the very best that we can be. So I would start now. I would really start now with the idea of, what do I need to do for me? How do I actually sit down and start creating the life that I want? When I first did this, I had never really thought about me all that much. I mean, I was married. I had two children. I was on a forklift. I was working like crazy just to try to keep all of us afloat in what it is that we were doing. And part of the reason that I couldn't move forward from that problem is because I didn't know what I wanted. I was coming from the place of here's all the responsibilities I have to other people, but I also didn't know what I wanted. I could not find a way to better myself until I got clear on what I wanted. There was no reason to better myself until I got clear on what I wanted. So the ways for us to get better are here, but we have to start to get clear on what we want. So you start where you are. Wherever you are, that's where you start. You start with what you know you want, and then you start creating the environment to create that in your life. That's by drawing boundaries. That's also by checking and double checking, do we have the right people around us to create the life that we want? It gets a bit tough and sticky here because what do we do if we don't? And that's where we have to really learn to draw boundaries. And then if they're toxic people, we have to remove toxic people from our life. But it also gets down to the place where we have to really think about the idea of if a person is not adding value, then why do we have them? And I'm going to cover that a little bit deeper in another podcast, so I won't go in too deep here. But really think about that. If a person's not adding value to your life, why would you actually have them? One of the main reasons, though, that we would do that is because we have been convinced some way that we need to give to these people and not give to ourselves. Because when we wake up to the idea that if we've put ourselves in a position where more people are taking from us than we're actually giving to ourselves, we'll wake up one day and there'll be nothing else. There'll be absolutely nothing else to give. And that's a very sobering thought. So really think about that. Start to get your life in order around this and think about to yourself, what do you really want? And know that it's okay for you to be selfish. Be safe out there. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.